Why comes a fall? Did anyone hear you call? As you drove your Volvo into a canal. Oh, this is it. I love you, but I'm nowhere else to go. I'm a depressio. I'm a depressio.
Magic.
Don't sue us.
Moments.
Please, we don't have the money.
This hat is ridiculous to put on with headphones.
All right. So, yeah. Hello, welcome to the Depressed CEO podcast.
Well remembered. We came up with that name
episode
5 minutes ago.
Yep.
Episode one of the Depressed CEOs podcast. We have recorded two other episodes of this.
Yes.
But they were mental.
They were insane. We just decided to record and go all over the place.
It was the babblings of two tired lunatics high on Monster.
It was. We were all excited. We're on amphetamines. We wasn't. It was purely Monster Energy. So, yeah, but this is the first official, I want to say. We're going to put the other two on the Patreon.
Yeah, the other
They're
two.
They're, like, secret.
Yeah, the other two episodes will be available to people that want to
they were
listen.
Raw. They were raw.
They were rough around the edges, weren't they? Yeah.
And there was not even, we didn't have a name. We did have a name, but it was very terrible.
We had a concept. We basically needed to get, the way that we work is if we get into a room and do something together, then actually, then it gets done. So now we're here in a room together. We can talk about shit. And we've got this set up. Oh, hello. Move that a little bit closer to me. A little creaky.
Glad I had headphones now.
Yeah, we've got this nice little set up and we can just chat to each other. And why?
Never change the way you wear that. By the way, this episode is available on YouTube. If you want to see us visually, hello, we'll wave you right now. But on our YouTube, whatever that's going to be called, but you'll get there. The Depressed CEO podcast. I actually like it.
Yeah,
I'm saying it now, and I feel this is for all the depressed CEOs out there.
Yeah, this is
currently driving in their suits. Oh,
yeah, this is for everybody that has a 6K salary. Sorry, 6K salary. That would be awful. That would be the worst paid CEO in history. £6,000 a year.
So below minimum wage, it's unreal.
I bet there are some CEOs that earn £6,000 a year. But if this is for people that are in like earning six-figure salaries but want to kill themselves,
yeah,
welcome. This is a place for you. Why do we call it the Depressed CEO Podcast, Davith?
Well, we was discussing names, and we like the fact that it's, you know, this is obviously, it can be for depressed CEOs, but it also can be for everybody. And we love the fact that, you know, one of my favourite names of a podcast is Athletico Mints.
Right.
Which has no bearing or meaning on what the podcast is about. It's meant to be a football podcast, but I think Bob Mortimer now just talks about anything. And that's what I want the Depressed CEO podcast to be.
It started out as a football podcast.
It started out, turns.
So this podcast is going to start out as a self-help therapy guide CEOs that are depressed.
For about 5 minutes.
If you are a CEO and you are depressed, don't do it.
Call our helpline.
You know what we're talking about. Call out a helpline and
ours. Like,
call our helpline. Yeah.
Oh,
email
could,
us.
Do you
email
know
us.
What? We could actually take calls from actual CEOs in jobs.
Email us.
Being,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
I would love that.
Yeah. If you're a depressed CEO,
please
drop us an email. DepressedCEOsPodcast@gmail.com. I'm sure that's the email address. Because
do you think that's available?
There's nobody else that's got that. I guarantee. Guarantee.
Okay, well, it's
depressedceospodcast@gmail.com.
depressedceospodcast@gmail.com. Email, you don't have to say what your name is. You don't have to give out any information if you don't want to. But you tell us why you're depressed and maybe some of your dark fantasies as well, because we all know some of you CEOs out there do have
dark fantasies.
Dark fantasies.
What's your dark fantasy?
Oh, I got excited then.
As a depressed CEO.
Me? Yeah.
What's the darkest thought you've had, like, in in this week, the most recent?
This week? I don't know. I'm not really. I'm actually feeling quite good. I'm taking vitamin D tablets, so I'm high on life,
Taking vitamin D.
Yeah, because there's no, yeah, D. I don't really have like dark thoughts, but I can tell you one when I was playing basketball.
Yeah, what was that?
You know, you have intrusive thoughts.
Oh, like, an intrusive thought, yeah.
Right. There's this basketball player that brings his son to work, to basketball practice, because obviously he can't get... He's a lovely kid, bless him. Like, really cute. He brings his little basketball in, and he's got a little hoop that he has. A tiny hoop. What? Why are you laughing?
I have a friend called Tom Brennan who... When you say the words, he's got a little hoop, and you're talking about a child.
I mean, that was your head,
he will be screaming paedophile, but carry on.
Pedo. No, he had a small basketball hoop and a small ball. This is not sounding any better,
Carry on, though.
But, I honestly was like, he said to me on the sidelines, "That's my daddy." Like out there, and his dad's like a sick basketball player,
right? Yeah,
not
yeah.
tall, but like ferocious. Mm-hmm. I mean, as a side note, he is a firefighter, and can you remind me to tell you, because I'll finish off this bit.
Yeah.
Anyway, and I was like, yeah, your dad's good at basketball, mate. He should be proud of him. He's like, yeah, and bless him, this kid's cute. But an intrusive thought came into my head, like just smack the ball out of his hand. And just go, shut the fuck up. And just tell him about, like, life's not even worth living and shit like that. And I just thought about it, and I was like, why would I? Yeah. He, like, walked past me going, yay. And I just wanted to smack the ball out of that kid's hand.
Aye.
Like, it was like, he's like 4 or 5, bless him. I just wanted to go, fucking get out. Stop.
He's got dreams. He's sat there or like playing there going, do you know what, my daddy's a really good basketball player,
and his
dad's like showing him that like life can be good, and he believes, because his dad's a good basketball player, he's like I can be here, I can be as good as my daddy one day. And what you want to do is just teach him that life is a fucking absolute shit show.
1,000,000%. You can be a depressed CEO in 1 second.
Yeah. So you can be like, look, I don't care how good you think this shit is. This is what it's all about, baby. Whack.
Lesson.
Recession.
Number one. Recession. Lesson. Number one. also, side note.
The recession
note,
lesson.
The recession lesson. Fucking hell, what a podcast name. Anyway, let's not get into that. Also, on the flip side of that, his dad's a firefighter. And one of the first stories, I was like, just, you know, talking and... I never really talked to him, and he was on the sidelines, and I was like, do you have a job? And he's like, yeah, I have this other job, and also I'm a firefighter. I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've got no filter. So I look at him and go, oh, firefighter, that's insane. Like, what's the fucking sickest shit you've ever seen?
What's the best fire you've ever seen, mate?
And he says, it's not necessarily a fire. What people tend to, you know, forget is that not only fires do we actually fight, we actually have to get to, like, scenes first when it's, like, a car crash or something. And he told me about this woman and a man who was in this car wreck, and it was upside down, and he looked at me with this like 1,000-yard stare. It's like, I still remember the woman like looking at me. She's saying like, oh, am I going to be okay? And I'm looking down and she's got no lower half of her body. And I was like, wow. I was just like, okay, dude. And he looks at me and goes, anyway, got to get back on the field. And then he goes out there and plays like a monster, and he's fighting his demons out on that court.
He's
ferocious. I'm like, and I'm sat there going, okay, what the hell?
Do you think that's
an outlet for him?
He's taken all of that, like...
1,000,000%.
All of that rage and... it's not rage, is it? It's just like... It's
dark, man.
Do you think I'm gonna be okay? It's like telling...
That's the juxtaposition as well. Like, he's little... Oh, he's got such a nice little, like, son, bless him.
That's like
And then just
it.
His dad is just seeing fucking horror, dude.
Yeah.
Horror. Anyway...
Yeah, oh, do you think I'm going to be okay? It's like little white lie on that one. Yeah, absolutely. No, nothing in your life is going to change. Mm. You didn't like your legs anyway, did you?
I didn't want to ask what happened to that woman. I was like, in my head, I was like, she's fine.
In my head, I'm like, where is she severed? to what?
Yeah, right.
To what height? How much of her is left if she is left? That is, I mean, it's just dark, isn't it?
I mean, as serious that is, yes, it's very serious. But hey, you have to laugh at everything. So did her vagina get cut off?
I was just kind of thinking, like, how much of her is there to move about now? How does she transport herself around? If you are that woman, do get in touch.
No, my God, dude.
If you are now the CEO of a Fortune 500 company, which
and you
I have
no legs,
no idea what that means, and you have no lower body from an undetermined part of your body.
Email us at no lower body.
Do let us know, get in touch, please.
No lower body at gmail.com.
I mean, how... just thinking about that, what...
I can't think about it too much.
What's the minimum amount of body that any human... what's the human with the lowest amount of body parts? Because how much of your body do you need to be able to... You could probably operate... Like, you need a stomach, don't you? And you need...
Digestion system.
Yeah, you need a digestion system. So obviously you need your heart, because that's the blood. You need your lungs, because that's the air.
So could you have just, like, the middle part? Oh, and then your stomach.
Yeah, so I guess it would have to be, like, down to the stomach, wouldn't it? And then you'd
I haven't even... What a thought.
I mean, that's a Google, isn't it, later on? Which human has, like, the smallest amount of body?
Do you need your arms?
No, you don't. You could live without your arms. Absolutely, you don't need your arms. It would be a meagre existence.
You don't need your PP necessarily.
Well, no, you don't. Well, I do.
You could drain. Blood.
Yeah. You lose your stuff out of a bag. Where we've gone. This is what a weird start to a podcast. But you know, this is the road we've gone down. So your darkest thought going back to that was, I'm going to smack a basketball out of a child's hand.
I don't have.
And now
really
we've got
dark,
to the point
yeah.
of like, what? Which human has like the least amount of
so
body features?
I flip it on you. What was your darkest? Have you had a dark thought this week? To make you a depressed CEO.
I had a pretty dark thought in Tesco the other day so I went to the checkout counter in Tesco, and I had my child with me, who is 6 months old. And when kids are that age, if you don't have a child, you won't know this, but like they all of a sudden they need something and it needs to be now, or they will start screaming. And he needed feeding, and he was about sort of 10 minutes away from a feed. So I was like, right, cool. I'm going to get him through this checkout. I'm going to get him in the car. I'm going to get him home. And I chose the checkout with the most senile looking member of staff I've ever seen attending it, which was my first mistake. But I didn't really look at him because I was kind of like, get this basket down, get the pram in front of me, get through this checkout. And there was like one person in front of me. So I was like, this is a doddle. They've got half a conveyor belt of shopping. I've got like a few bits.
You're eyeing up the shopping. That's a good strap.
Yeah, there's another couple behind me who are like full shop. So I'm like, cool, I've got through here in 5 minutes. Back to the car, back home, no problem. This guy, I swear to God, I was looking at him and I was like, he's old. Like, he's very old. And I'm thinking he may be doing this as like, you know, like a bit of extra Christmas money. Maybe he's just sort of doing Christmas temping because he's dead slow. Every item he scans through the till and he holds it in his hands on the other side and looks at it like he's not sure if he's going to remember this day. Like, again. And so every item, he's passing it through.
Is he reliving each item? Is he like, whoa,
yeah,
I remember like, this.
Yeah, I honestly, genuinely have no idea what he was doing with these items, but he was passing them through and looking at them in his hands and then, like, putting them down. So I was like, interesting, okay, cool. Had, like, a weird conversation with the people in front of me, and then it took him so long. And my child starts crying, like, tears crying. He's hungry. He wants feeding. So I'm like, willing him to hurry up, willing the people behind me to stop talking to me.
Are you talking to you?
Is that a little boy? Oh, he's very cute.
You could probably can't get anywhere.
honestly, just I was like, just leave me alone. He's clearly upset. Like, don't let your child talk to him. Don't let your child try and play with him. He just wants feeding. So I get to this guy or whatever, and he starts scanning all this stuff through, and I'm like, Jesus, fucking, just hurry up, please, hurry up, please, hurry up. I looked at his badge, and you know, like sometimes Tesco, you know this, you used to work in a Tesco once upon a time. They have like when you joined the team.
Ooh.
And he had joined.
Shivered down my spine.
He joined the team in 2003.
Ooh, how many? Do the maths. How many years is that?
That's 20 years nearly. Well, no, yeah, it's twenty years exactly. 20 years. Well, depending on when in 2003 he joined, but I was like, in 20 years you've been at this store. Like, so he was probably a younger man when he joined, and I was like, but you've never progressed beyond.
You never wanted to be a CEO.
You never progressed beyond the checkout.
You never wanted to be a depressed CEO.
And then I was just sort of in my head as he was passing each item through his hands and holding it on the other side. I was just looking at him and I was like, "Do you just want to die?" Like, I was thinking, like, should I just wait outside Tesco for him to finish, like, one night and just full Richard Hillman him off?
You heard it. It was always you and me. Always. And you're just like, listen to that, yeah, friends. And you just, like, I could imagine him outside Tesco's, right? He walks out and it's like late at night. He's trying to find his car, right? Yeah. He's doing the late shift. He's trying to find his
car. Holding his keys in his hand.
And he's like looking at his keys in his hand like he did all the rest of the shopping.
Yeah.
Where do I remember my car? What is my car?
Yeah.
And then he just hears a muffled. And then he looks at some headlights slam on. Yeah. And he looks over. And it's just you. It's just, you remember me, don't you?
You should have stayed at the party, Maxine.
And he's like, my name's not Maxine. Just
run him over in my leather gloves. Yeah. Oh. But honestly, genuinely, I was thinking, he's not long for this world anyway. But also, I was like...
20 years, man.
Mate, the best part about this whole thing, right, I was eating satay chicken for my dinner. So I got this satay chicken, ready prepared thing. Satay chicken. It's, for those that don't know, it's chicken in a peanut butter sauce, right? Scans through an actual tin of peanuts, honey roast peanuts, getting a bit of Christmas stocking. Do you know what I mean? We're coming up to Christmas. Then the last item he scanned through was a pack of shoe buns, and he held them for, I'm not even joking, like 3 minutes. I was literally reaching out my hand to try and take them out of his hand, and he went, peanuts. And I said, excuse me? He went, peanuts? And I was, are you doing...
Reminds me of you, that Bob Mortimer.
Peanuts!
Peanuts!
I was like, are you...
Not Bob Mortimer, like, whatever his name is.
Is that what he's doing? Is it because I'm bold? Does he think I'm George Dawes?
Right, there we go, yeah.
Peanuts? And,
peanuts!
And I was like, yeah. And he was like, peanuts in this? And I said, okay, ooh, there's peanuts in the shoe bun. He was like, yeah, yo, you know, got to be careful. You haven't got an allergy to peanuts, have you? And I was like, well, if I did have an allergy to peanuts, do you not think I would, you know, you probably tell me that when I'm buying peanuts and a satay chicken, which is literally chicken in a peanut butter fucking sauce.
He doesn't know where he is. He has no clue.
Honestly, he was on another planet. He needed Richard Hillman in.
Does he not have a retirement? Or how old was this man?
He was definitely
off. If he's been working at Tesco for 20 years, he would have, like, surely they make you sign up for a retirement, like...
A retirement plan. Pension.
Yeah, pension.
Yeah, he must... I mean, he must have been...
If he's, like, 80, like, pushing 80, you think?
Mate, older than that. Like
you're joking? Like, front end of 80, back end of 80.
I think mid-80s. Genuinely, he was the slowest human being I've ever encountered.
Well, maybe he likes it. Maybe, like, that's scary for me. Like, whatever. Do what you want, but nah.
If there was a purge tomorrow, he would not last.
No.
No. I mean, he's not going to last anyway. I'm going to kill him.
He's just waiting outside.
With my son in the back of the car, just crying, hungry.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a teaching moment. It's like, you're using that as fuel. He's just like crying at you, like, how dare you take my... And he's like, I don't even know what you're talking about. It was always you and me, always. So we're singing that song because there is a reference, and Jim referenced
Richard Hillman
here, which is the greatest serial killer of all time. He's not even real. He's from EastEnders, right?
Coronation Street.
Sorry, Corey.
He's the GOAT.
He's the GOAT.
For depressed CEOs, he's the GOAT. If you like, if you're a depressed CEO, you want to be Richard Hillman.
Yeah, 1,000,000%.
You should have stayed at the party, Maxine.
Didn't he clock Maxine with a? Was it Maxine or was it another person with like a ornament?
Oh, before? That was Emily. Yeah,
Emily. You know the details. Mate, this is why I need you.
It's one of my favourite ever. So
he clocked television moments. YouTube this, but he clocked Emily with around the back of the head first
with an ornament,
and then he drove him and his like family the side of a canal.
Yeah,
and I watched that and we all pissed ourselves laughing because it was so like British and
weird.
It
was so stupid.
Stupid. He did it to the tune of what is the song called?
The One of These, You and
the
Me.
The One of These, You and Me.
It was always you.
And was you there when
always.
Was you there when I recreated that in GTA?
We recreated it in GTA a few times and we just put the song on. Ba da da ba 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 ba. And then just drive the car.
And we we did it so many times.
You and me.
And what did he say when he drove off? This is it! I love you! What a line. If I'm ever going to top Mersenne...
Yeah, that's how you do it.
I want to say, this is it.
Yeah.
I love you.
Film it.
Just on TikTok now.
Yeah.
This is it. I love you.
Interestingly,
Don't do it, depressed CEOs.
Yeah, don't do it. If you are going to do it, film it. And
I always say to my friend, if you're going to kill yourself, just don't leave me a mess.
Yeah. Yeah,
like,
Just make me laugh. Make me laugh. Yeah. Or if you're going to leave...
Me and my friend talk about this.
If you leave a mess, make me laugh.
He said he would. He said he'd have a ciggy hanging out his job. He said he'd have like so many darts hanging out his mouth. Yeah.
And just something weird up his ass.
Yeah, something weird up his ass. He said I'd be sad, but at the same time be like... Okay, fuck you, dude. All right. He went out like, and then I'd clean it up, like, get him down, and then I'd be like crying a bit, and I'd be like, well, you know,
have you read the Da Vinci Code? You know where he's dead, but he leaves clues.
No,
it's like a dead body, but he's left like this weird code.
The stinky code.
Oh, it's just like various clues shoved up his ass of how he died.
First clue. You pull it out, it's like, oh, he didn't even wipe his ass.
That's the first clue.
It's all like weird riddles.
Oh my god.
What smells like shit but lives in a pit? You're like, oh my god, dude. It's actually like, you got the fucking smell of feces and corpse. You're like, oh my fucking god, dude.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Fucking hell.
Anyway, if you're going to kill yourself, that's the message. Make sure you do it in a funny way to entertain your friends and family.
Talking of Richard Hillman, the actor that plays David Platt.
No, I don't know the actor that plays David Platt.
So David Platt in Coronation Street was Richard Hillman's stepson. And I think in that episode, he was probably like 13 or 14 or something like that. But he's now an adult and he's still Gail Platt's son. He's still in Coronation Street. And
Jesus, man.
I was in a cocktail bar in Manchester on a night out on like a Tuesday or something like that. And him and loads of the cast of Coronation Street came in. And I was just like absolutely buzzing because I was stood next to David Platt drinking like a really girly cocktail, like with like a, you know, like have you seen Forgetting Sarah Marshall where he pulls like a full banana out of the cocktail? I was like, ooh,
yeah.
It was a full on like ridiculous cocktail. But I'm stood there next to David Platt and I was like, fucking Richard Hillman. Richard, fuck it! Like
did you tell him?
I didn't really want. Like he knew I knew who he was. He knew I'd watched him being driven into a canal.
You've been driven in a canal. That canal scene, mate. Mwah.
There was a look in my eyes and a song in my voice that was you and me.
If that came
always.
On in the Manchester bar, that you'd be like, this is a sign.
If I'm ever DJing in Manchester and I see David Platt walk into the bar, first thing I'm going to do is look him dead in the eyes, stop the music, and play "It Was Always You." And
then just cut it out and go, I love you. This is it. If you could sample it. This is it.
Do you think he would appreciate it? Or do you think he would just be like, honestly, I've done so much. I've done Panto.
It's probably so many other like, you know, niche movies that you've never heard of.
Yeah.
And you reference Richard Hillman driving me off into a canal.
Yeah. I mean, that's depressed CEO for him, isn't it? Very wealthy, successful guy. Cannot get away from.
Is that just our thing, though?
What do you mean?
like, it, I remember that scene, but like, if we went to the general population, like, do you remember the rich? Is that such a prolific scene in the Coronation lore?
Tell us in the comments, is it a prolific scene? Is it such a prolific scene that
UK,
you remember it?
People from the UK. What American or like any other country other than UK be like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Ingratiate yourselves with Coronation Street, you heathens.
What would they YouTube?
Just Richard Hillman, Coronation Street. Or Coronation Street in general. Coronation Street is a British soap. It's been running for 1,000 years. And I think some of the original cast are still in it. I don't know how they are still alive.
That's almost as bad as like
mate,
the man
Bill
working
Roach,
at Tesco's,
Bill Roach,
isn't it?
Bill Roach, who plays Ken, is still in Coronation Street.
Imagine being called Bill Roach.
Bill Roach. He got accused of nonsense as well, and he got away with it.
Of course.
He got away with it.
Of course. Who hasn't these days?
You.
I hope, fucking hope
not. Not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Yeah.
Not yet.
Fucking, I find out, like, everybody I love ends up noncing. Or being accused of it. It's really annoying.
Who's your most recent one? I know
Chris D'Elia was one.
Yeah, I know.
American comic.
Chris D'Elia,
and
yeah.
it's not really noncing. His was like, it was risky. They were of age, but he was quite older, apparently, in this text flying around. There was Gus Johnson. There wasn't a nonce thing, but it was more like a domestic violence thing. But apparently that was not very well, like, whatever.
I don't know who that is. What does he do?
Oh, Gus Johnson was like, he's an American sketch writer.
Oh, okay.
I fucking love him. I still love his shit. And apparently a girl came out and said he was like, she was abused, this, that, and the other. But it wasn't, apparently it wasn't as what she said, and he told his story, and everyone was like flip-flopping. But it's like, you don't know. And that's why it fucking just taints the water.
Yeah,
so whenever I watch Chris D'Elia now, I used to be dead into Chris D'Elia, like, religiously.
Yeah.
But then,
Jesus.
Then it's just like, it flipped on me. I even did like a YouTube video about it.
I remember, yeah.
Because I was so like, oh. But then you
check out Vorni on YouTube for that video. It's still up there, I think.
I mean, yeah, but it might. Anyway, I'm not going to talk about that. I was just thinking off on tangents that made no sense. Anyway, because I was like going to say, well, I need to do this with you on YouTube, but I need to stop doing that. Anyway, but like, yeah, and now it's like I watch him and I still laugh, but it's like this tinge of, could he have been an arsehole? And I'm like, ah!
And
I can't enjoy it. But you don't know. And my fiance's like, look, I'm still going to love him, like, no matter what. Like, we don't know.
Chris D'Elia.
We don't know.
Still going to love him.
We don't know, because she wasn't there in the room.
Is that like classic denier, though? Isn't that like, you know, like Michael Jackson, still going to listen to his music, but
have you heard
quite
Andrew,
strong
have
evidence
have you,
that
have
he didn't
Andrew
fuck those kids.
Have you heard Andrew Schultz's joke about that?
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. Like, his music was so good,
Schultz is a murderer with that kind of material.
Insane.
Isn't he?
How he dances the line of like offensiveness, but like, yeah, he's got that cheeky kind of side to him.
This
like,
is the,
you could just get away with it.
This
like,
all comes back to depressed CEOs, though, doesn't it? Because all these people have tasted this sweet success, and they're like, you know, what do we get? You know, where do you get to now? Do you, you know, is it hard to remain a good person once you've tasted that success, or do you get to the point where you're like, the only thing that will satisfy me now is the blood of a child?
And that's the question, isn't it? I mean, we don't have that kind of wealth.
No, I don't.
As I get older, like when I was younger, I used to be very like materialistic and be like, oh, I need the new things. It was like gadgets. But as I get older, I'm like, I just want to not worry about what I'm spending money on. So I don't think I'll ever reach to the point of like billions, like millions. But like these kind of people who do chase the billions, they have a mindset that billions is not enough. So when they get to that point, it's more. I think it's more of a mindset rather than the money making you do it. Because there's a certain type of person that wants to be president. Yeah. There's a certain type of person that wants to be a CEO of a company.
Yeah, yeah.
And really, in the reality is, in my mind, to be a good CEO or be a good leader, you shouldn't want it. You're kind of been put in that position.
Yeah, oh, I like that. No, yeah, I agree, actually. Like, if it came down to, like, a war situation or something like that, who's the person, like, are you the person that would stand up and protect people and fight for people, or are you the person that would just sort of cower away and like not really want the responsibility?
But you want the label. You're
that sounds good.
I'll be the officer, but when it comes down to it, you're like, I just want to command people about. I don't want to fight the war.
It sounds like the thing where Harry Potter gets the stone out of the mirror. He gets it because he wants it, but he doesn't want to use it.
You sounded like David Brent then. He gets it, but he doesn't want to use it.
He doesn't want to use it.
But he fucking does want to use it. He would, if he knew what the stone fucking did, he'd want to use
what does
it.
I'm not the biggest
Harry Potter
fan.
It gave you eternal
regardless
light.
Regardless of my, you know, Hedwig.
Regardless of your Hedwig tattoo. I think it gave you eternal life or something like that. It made you basically not die.
I would have wanted
it was the Philosopher's Stone. Yeah. Well, this is the thing as well, isn't it? Like, if you...
Am I the only one with eternal life? Because I'd have to watch all my friends and family die and erode around me. And I'm like, I can't ever love anybody ever again.
No, you can't love.
And then you're just like...
But no. Because in the book, the guy who creates the stone that gives you eternal life also gives a bit of that to his wife. So him and his wife grow old and they're alive forever together.
It's like Inception.
That sounds terrible, when they go deep
into the Inception world and they're together forever. What a great fucking Nolan big up. Anyway, carry on.
It sounds terrible in itself, just being alive with one person forever. You'd just be so annoyed. Because they would be the only person that would get your cultural references. Your cultural references would be from like hundreds of years ago. You'd be like, oh, fucking hell, only fools and horses. And people would be like, what? Like, we don't watch that anymore. It's 2600 or something.
Yeah, but maybe you just go with it with the times.
Del Boy, eh?
He got a right toy thing, but the good day to
I tell you what,
guarantee
he's
no money book. Black or white,
there you go.
The chopper, the miso course, malaco.
My bosholo, chico, la maco. He's a CEO that's worth $6,000.
Del Boy.
Yeah, I bet he's.
Is he still alive, the actor?
Oh, yeah, Jason.
Muse.
David Jason.
David Jason. What a weird name.
Jason David.
Jason Davis. Jonathan Davis.
Jonathan Davis. Javith. Javith Daniels.
Only Fools and Horses was good.
Yeah, it still is. It's of its time, though.
Yeah.
Problematic.
Remember that chandelier scene everybody talks about? Oh, when he leans up against the bar, but.
Oh, yeah.
I love that scene. Yeah. I hate how much people go on about it.
Yeah. David Jason. If you say David Jason,
If you say David Jason three times.
If you say in the mirror, does David Jason come out? Does he come out and try and sell you some dodgy hi-fis?
Such a funny image.
What I was going to say is David Jason a depressed CEO because everybody associates him with Only Fools and Horses and nothing else he's ever done would ever be as good? But he's fucking Frost as well, isn't he, or something?
I had this image of a touch of frost. A touch of frost. What a weird
a
name
touch
for
of
a
frost.
Show.
Yeah.
I could try to remember the theme tune, but it was all serious. Because he had that, like...
Let's put the theme tune over this. A touch of frost.
A touch of frost.
It sounds like you've been fingered by someone.
Yeah, a touch of frost.
It sounds like he's gonna be you treated, isn't it?
Oh my god, that's David Jason.
That's the headline when David Jason gets out and it's announced. A touch of frost. A touch of,
you can see it all over the Sun headlines, can't you? And they use the worst photo of him, haggard, probably smoking a cig, just fucking a touch of frost. I'm sorry, David Jason.
Well, he could be. Who fucking knows these days?
You know what I mean? Allegedly. We've got to do that for legal reasons.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely fucking not. Hell. But, yeah, if you say David Jason in a mirror three times,
he could.
Oh, fucking hell.
A touch of frost.
Yeah.
Fucking frosty touch.
Oh, frosty tips over there.
It's coming up to Christmas.
It is, yeah.
It's literally a week, isn't it now?
Do you know what, mate? I got you a gift. Genuinely, I've got you a gift.
What, here now?
Yeah, here now. Should I get it?
Yeah, do it.
All right.
Sorry, for the listeners, I have to adjust. Oh, here we go.
So it's a good time to adjust. So I got you this because I know that you love two things. I know that you love the USA, and I know that you love stretching the parameters of what your arsehole's sensitivity can handle. So I got you these Carolina Reaper hers cheese things.
Oh, shit. These are amazing. Thanks, Jim.
Hey, you're very welcome, mate. You're very welcome.
So what I'm looking at, listeners, is hers. Yeah, Carolina Reaper chips, American, family owned and enjoyed. These are the Carolina Reaper as well. I'm going to try one live.
On the Patreon.
Next one.
Sign up to the Patreon try them live.
Okay, yeah, we'll do that on the next podcast. Sign up to the Patreon to try these live.
Put them in the middle.
I think they're going to be like a scale of, thank you very much, nothing.
That's fine, standard. It's about the same as every Christmas.
I'm trying.
Get you a really thoughtful present.
Me and Leanne had a little bit, a tiny bust up about this.
Cause did you?
She was like, you done your Christmas shopping yet? I was like, no.
Leanne's your partner, by the way, for those who don't know.
Yes.
She got mad at you because you haven't done your Christmas shopping yet? Or because you haven't got her anything?
This is right. And tell me if I'm wrong. I've never been good at giving presents. Like, I always find it weird because my brain is different. Like, not like so different. But
so
like
using your ADHD as a weapon here?
No, I'm not weaponizing my...
He's weaponizing your ADHD.
I've never been good at giving presents. I've never been good at receiving presents. I can read every facial movement when I give someone a present. And they're like, oh... thank you. And I'm like, just tell me what you mean. If it's shit, just tell me it's shit. I can't do the dance. I hate the dancing.
Do you remember what you got me for my 18th birthday?
No, but you do.
You and some friends made me a weird video, which is fantastic. And you got me a card with a horse on it. And inside, you had drawn a picture of a man fucking a horse. And... included the words comes, smirks. Oh, no, smirks, comes, dies, 001X. And I still have that somewhere. And that, genuinely, I loved that. That was a.
If you decode that, yeah. Which you still haven't all these years, there's a geocache somewhere within that message.
Okay. Yeah. What, like what three words? Smirks, comes, dies.
Smirks, comes, dies, 001X. You can decode that, and there is a location.
If I get to Smokes Comes Dies and dig down deep enough, I'll find an oil barrel filled with Heisenberg cash.
You never know. Hey.
Happy 18th, mate.
Happy 18th. You still haven't found out yet, have you? I can find out on the Patreon where that is. Just trying to sell a Patreon of fake lies.
Don't want three words, Smirks, Comes, Dies, because that is my money, and I've been waiting 15 years to find it.
Who says it's money?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
If I go to Smirks Comes Dies and there's
just what do you mean, when you say if I go to Smirks Comes Dies, you know
what three words, the app? It's like a map app which is you put in three words and that gives you an exact 1 meter squared location anywhere in the world.
Really?
So if you want to go to like that door, for example, in our studio, there will be a what three words for that meter square of space. And you can put that in this app. And so I'm saying...
That's insane. Oh, I didn't know that.
But the words are like just randomized words. So I don't know. I don't think they've got Smirks Comes Dies in the what three words map, but I will check it.
You should do that.
If I get there and there's been a guy that's been stood there with a horse for 15 years waiting to fuck it live,
because that's what you wanted on your 18th. Yeah. Well, let's be real.
Yeah,
you wanted to watch a man. You wanted to watch Mr. Hands. Get ready. You know, if you know, you know.
Hasn't there been another one recently?
Apparently so, sir.
There's been another one recently. So everybody was talking about it, but I never got to see it. And they were like, oh, it's all over X or Twitter or whatever you fucking call it.
I'm all right for seeing stuff like that these days.
Yeah, I mean, I'm
all right.
I am also, but I was like, how have I missed it if everybody else is seeing it? Is it because my followers now are like of my age and they're like, you know, not... heathens anymore.
I remember the Wild West of the internet heathen. When we were young and you saw so much fucking... Do you remember, what was it?
Checking your watch like you're not enjoying this chat. Like,
no. I'm checking to see how much we've done like in an hour because I'm like, an hour.
You want to be out. You want to be out on an hour, don't you?
Well, it's just like hour episodes, isn't it? Anyway, you...
The dark holes of the internet.
What was that like... Newgrounds. That video that went around, it was all that.
BME Pain Olympics.
Pain Olympics, thank you.
BME Pain Olympics.
Was that real?
I mean, are they all depressed?
I have flashes of it, like, when I was in my teenage years and watching that going, oh my fucking God, this is horrific.
Are they all depressed CEOs? They're so... The people in this video...
Here we go.
The people in this video were doing horrendous things.
To their genitalia.
Yeah, to their well, just to their whole bodies.
People they know this. People are like, yeah, I remember that.
They were, and there's probably millions more of these kind of videos out on the internet now. But in this particular video, the objective was, I think, to expose your...
What was the objective?
It was to expose your body to the most amount of physical pain. And if you endured the most amount of pain, I guess you won the Pain Olympics. But one of them...
Who's winning?
Nobody was winning. One of the videos...
We're not winning as the viewer. They're not winning as the competitors.
In one of the videos, a guy cut open his scrotum and popped his testicles out of it and then cut his testicles off.
He
live castrated himself for the sake of what? Fun. Was he the CEO of a Fortune 500 company? Are you that man? Email us, depressedceospodcast@gmail.com. Let us know how life has been without your testicles why on earth you chose to cut them off.
Tell us if you popped out a bollock. At popped out a bollock@gmail.com.
Are you currently listening to this sat in the toilet cubicle at your work?
We need to do adverts, man. And I can imagine a whole array. And we just go cut to commercial break. Actually like us. Like, and it's a shit recorded thing, like in a shit office. We need to do that.
Are you rich but unhappy? Talk to us. Give us some of your money because we're fucking skint.
Doesn't make sense, does it?
It doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
But more money equals happiness, doesn't it?
More money equals like
you freedoms.
Cock-shaped rockets, I think, is what it equals, isn't it? Because when you get to the point where you've got ludicrous amounts of money,
Elon Musk, you just build a
cock-shaped cock. That's really hard to say.
Cock-shaped rocket.
I wonder where that would take you on the three words grid. Cock-shaped rocket.
Probably Elon Musk's arsehole.
Elon Musk's arsehole.
What are your thoughts on Elon?
I don't know enough backstory about him. Was he one of the original people behind Napster or something like that?
Well, one of my friends hates him with a passion.
What was his original thing that he was behind? Because before Tesla, before all the other
stuff... I think
he's
an autistic man. I just think he's a bit autismo. Like,
but he was like involved in something very early on, like internet-wise, that I was like, oh, cool, he was involved in that. And I think that made him like a bit of money, which then... meant he could go on
PayPal or Amazon or something. I don't know.
It was something like that. But I mean, I don't know enough. I don't know enough about him.
That's the thing, though, right?
To have an opinion.
My friend absolutely despises him, and he has like this irrational hate towards him. And I'm just like, none of us know the man. We only know
who is this friend. Just so Elon knows.
I don't want to say his name.
I know.
I don't want to get people involved.
What do you call it? Like disguise his name.
Or bleep it out.
No, rhyme it with something. What's his first name?
Pims.
Pims, yeah.
Second name?
Pims.
Smegwoods.
Pims Smegwoods. Yeah, cool. So, old Pimmy Smegwoods.
Yeah, I don't want to like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to like, bless him. We did a podcast with him.
You know who you are.
No, he has this irrational hate for Elon.
Right.
And I think he would admit it is irrational. Because
we
only know what the front page of either side tells us. And it's like, you know, I don't know Elon. I have no idea. If I had to put a thing on it, I think I've watched several podcasts with him on. I've watched like several hours of conversation with a man. And I think...
Where do you find the time? Well, like...
Find the time.
Where do you... Like...
Have you
accidentally invested these hours? Or is this like, what are you going to watch?
I love podcasts.
What are you going to watch today? Right, today I'm going to watch several hours of conversation with Elon Musk.
I find him interesting, to say the least.
Okay.
And when I say interesting, it doesn't mean I love or hate the man.
Do you actively watch him, or do you just sort of have him on in the background whilst you play with a Rubik's Cube?
Or walk around town. Use a fidget spinner. I've got a butterfly knife.
You got a butterfly?
Yeah.
Should I be scared?
Yeah,
on you right now?
Yes. No.
Stop taking the piss out of my ADHD, or I will stab you with this butterfly knife.
No, it's blunt, so you can't do it. Because I'm not going to buy a... because I want to do tricks with it. Imagine if
Right. Okay. So for your...
It's my new fidget thing.
For your autism or ADHD, you've got a knife.
A blunt one that I can practice with.
Okay.
And I could do like spins with it and shit.
Is that why there's so much knife crime? too many kids are like, I just need a knife for my ADHD. Woo!
whoops.
And then they try to blame
someone. Honestly, it's just my ADHD, autism.
I had to figure out how to stab someone.
I mean, shout out to everybody that's got ADHD. I'm certainly...
I'm not even diagnosed yet. I'm on the process, but I'm 99% sure.
I'm certainly a bit.
For a matter of... Mate, I think more people are on the spectrum than we think.
Oh, like, yeah. Legit. Oh, for sure.
My fiance's dad definitely is. Sorry.
So calling him out.
Just saying.
You have it.
Just saying. I don't know whether this is a dad thing, but he's like, he will tell you, he will really go on about stories that only he's interested in.
Right.
And if you bring up anything else, he just like looks at you blankly and goes, what are you talking about?
Like if you try to relate to his story by bringing in another point of reference that might reference
his
story.
Why do you bring that in? Like to the point where it's like, oh, that you've just said, okay, right.
What's his vibe? What's he on?
What's ketamine, mostly. No, I'm joking.
What's he doesn't even know about?
I once, because you know what I'm like, I tried to talk to him about drugs and he had no clue. He was like, well, he just got all weird and shuffly with me and I was in a pub.
Itchy.
And I was like, Nick, I've done drugs in the past. He's like, no, have you? No. I've done a bit of coke.
Snorted coke off your daughter's asshole.
And I was like, no, it's not a downer.
Sorry, Leanne, that was harsh.
Honestly, I said to Leanne, I told the story about Leanne last time on the podcast. I said to, and she's like, right, what did you talk about? I was like,
Wolf of Wall Street. Me, Wolf of Wall Street in your arsehole.
I didn't say that.
Wolfie.
If you want to find out what I said, listen to the Patreon episodes just fucking...
It's chaos and nonsense.
And I was like, I hope your dad doesn't... Like, I just think about a dad listening to it and I'm like, oh my God. But he's so just like, I don't know. I love him to bits. I love Nick. But like... Yeah. I don't know. Hi, Nick. He's lovely. He is lovely. What kind of stories does he like to tell you?
He's just RAF
like, guy. Like
so, like planes.
Planes. Oh, I mean, no, not all. He's not just like planes.
Have you seen the new F-31 takeoff from Doncaster? No.
He's not Yorkshire either, but
That's a plane.
Yorkshire.
That's an autism plane voice, isn't it?
Yorkshire. Right. Can we just go left?
Yeah. We're going left, everybody. Hold on.
I saw this fucking meme, and we are in the Steel City, aren't we? So this is
we are recording in Sheffield.
Let me get it up here.
Oh my goodness!
Have you seen this?
That was an eighth of a cum.
And by the way, this is a filter.
You're going to put this in so people can watch.
Can I try to see if it comes up, and you can hear it?
Yeah.
Just got. Oh.
Fuck.
Oh, I'll put it in there. I'll actually put it in the thing.
Yeah, we put the video in.
Here you go, dude.
Just got back from day at pit. I wouldn't mind exploring your pit.
Jim, look.
Having said that, I wouldn't even mind shrinking myself down and living inside your puss. I'd be like the cat that got the cream.
Jesus Christ.
He's trying not to laugh.
As a sugar daddy, I pay well. But by the time I'm finished with you, you'll be like an eaten mess in every sense of the word.
Oh, goodness.
Watch him laugh. Watch
him
laugh.
Cuddles, and I'll be a martyr to your G-spot.
Anyway, that just made me laugh when I thought it was in the Steel City. And
yeah. Like Sheffield chat up lines.
Sheffield, I'll be a martyr to your G-spot.
Yeah, it's Sheffield's accent. I find it quite attractive. I like a northern accent.
I like Irish is my kind
of Irish.
Favorite.
Hello there.
The Irish.
Hello there, David.
I can't do an Irish accent. I start going. What is the sexiest accent? Scottish.
I mean, sexy in what way?
On a girl.
Sexy as in like, ooh.
You have to say Scouse.
Hello, I am French. It's a very nice accent.
That's not sexy.
But yeah, do you not think... Because everybody,
to me, maybe
the French language is like the sexy, voted like the sexiest language, isn't it? But accent, I mean, yeah, I don't know.
It's Scouse for you, surely, right? I'm trying to bait you in here. I hope Jess never sees this.
In some ways, Scouse is very sexy. I think,
like, in what certain words or phrases?
I think I like being told off in Scouse because it's a bit, you know, it gets harsh.
I think I can get
harsh.
I'll get behind that.
It gets harsher and I'm like, oh yeah, tell me off more.
Can you give me an example?
No, not really.
Okay, fair. That's fair.
Yeah, I mean, like, if I've done something wrong, my wife is from Liverpool. If she's telling me off, it goes hype. So there's a point. It passes through. It starts off quite sexy if she's just getting mad at me, and I'm like, oh yeah, no, shout at me, tell me off. It's quite sexy. But then
I get that.
But then with Scouse, it gets higher and higher and higher in pitch, and then by the end you're just kinda like, it's the frequency's too high now. So I need you to be less mad. So I'd sort of fix the problem that I'd done and say sorry, and then just have a bit more of a row later on.
For me, I think it's a girl's Irish accent is kind of...
No, mate, Hull is the sexiest accent. Hello. Hello, mate.
Hello, mate.
Hello, mate. I want to kiss you.
Hull.
I want to kiss you on your face.
I once had a lap dance from a girl with that accent from Hull, and she was quite drunk. And I remember feeling very,
hello,
very
what's
awkward.
Your name?
No, it's more deep though. It's more like,
hello.
Do you like my pussy?
Hello, hello, love.
Say, do you like my pussy, bro?
Do you like my pussy, bro?
That's what she said. And she had no joke. No joke. I'm not even joking. This is even like embellishing the story in any way.
Where were
she you? Had a tampon string hanging out.
Oh my.
And she was on the floor. She was doing like this dance on the floor. And I remember going, I mean, we had a.
Hello, do you like my bloody pussy?
And she said that, and I went, I just was like, I can't, you know, it just all felt very, I'm not the biggest fan of lap dances anyway in strip clubs. Like, we spoke about this before, but like.
It's a very depressing.
It was a stag do. It's a very depressed CEO thing to do. Fucking is.
It's a very depressing.
You've nailed it. They go to Amsterdam and they fucking go in their suits. You've seen them in Amsterdam. Yeah. I saw
tight as a butcher's dog.
Fit as a butcher's dog.
On the fucking precipice.
Inside
on the fucking edge of it. On the precipice.
Inside reference.
We've been to Amsterdam together.
Fucking hype then.
The word precipice gets me every time because of that story. We will tell it on the Patreon. For sure, but
we just can't mention names,
no,
can we?
No. Well, but yeah, so yeah, you go to Amsterdam, they get all fired up
because they got to have that sweet release. They do that 9-to-5 grind, man, and they're all suited up. It's not natural.
Their jobs are fucking boring as well.
No wonder they're all on coke as well, like just to feel something else.
I feel like also, like, if you get to the point where you're just really successful and you don't really have to do anything. Your company runs itself. You have to find something that becomes your personality because you've completed the job. You've completed jobs. There's people that I know that have really, really, really well-paid jobs that don't really do anything because they just delegate. So they go in on like a Monday and they'll be like, right, you do this, you do this, you do this, you do this, you do this. I'll be here, report to me if anything goes wrong. And then they sort of, that's sort of what you do is you go higher up the ladder, right? Then you get to the point where you've literally got nothing. Like, you don't actually physically do anything. You're not lifting anything. You're not making anything. You're not building anything. Lots of other people just do the work for you. Oh, mate, I'll tell you this. I DJ'd a party the other day, and it was for a debt collection agency. And genuinely, there was a point where they did like an awards ceremony or whatever for like, you know, funniest in the office. It's only John fucking hell, it's so funny. And then John walks in, like, does this funny, like, oh my God, he was like this guy from London and you played a tune and he did like, you know, like the stupid dance, like the fast run dance. And everyone was like cheering him like, yay, just doing the running dance thing that he does. It's so funny. And I was just looking at it like, honestly, like in my ears, which is like a ringing sound. And I was like,
you ever seen Oppenheimer?
I haven't, no, but
there's a scene in that where like he's,
yeah,
like everything around him was just like he's getting
exploded,
applause, but he's realised I've killed so many people.
Yeah,
and it's just like, and it's a slow zoom on his face. I can imagine that's you. Like,
I think that is, like, I was definitely having an Oppenheimer moment there.
Oh,
then it, yeah.
Wow, dude!
But I was just watching it. There was a moment in it where it was like, so the guy who was doing the awards was like the CEO of the company or something like that, but his wife started the company. And he was talking about everything. And then there was this bit where it's like, And the special mention goes out to our appeals team, who've you know, dealt with a lot of requests this year. They've dealt with you know, 280,000 appeals, because I think they dealt with like mostly like parking tickets or like parking fines and stuff like that. And you know, and they've lost absolutely zero revenue from our company. Clap, 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 clap. And then one of the appeals team goes, because we fucking rejected every fucking last one of them. And I was just like, ugh. But I feel like they're all...
I feel like you want to peel your own skin off.
Honestly, genuinely, they made me feel sick. Like, all, like the fact
that... You got paid well, though, right?
Make
sure you get corporate job, get it out there, fucking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I took
money from this company. The best thing about this is I took money from this company.
Because they don't care either.
No, they don't care. They don't care. Absolutely not.
Money's stupid.
Yeah, money's absolutely stupid. They gave me this money, and then literally 2 weeks ago, I got a fucking parking ticket, and I'm like, I bet that I'm giving some of this money back to the company that paid me to do this fucking gig.
Wow.
Honestly, but it made me feel like really sick. And the guy who was like the CEO was like at one point started crying because he's like, you know, everybody
he was pissed as well.
Everybody that knows me knows that I've just had a really hard year. And I was just like, but everybody in the room was like, oh, yeah, oh. And I'm like, you're literally causing misery to so many people. I hope you are so unhappy. Like, looking at him, like, genuinely... Again, maybe this is a dark thought that I have, but I genuinely looked at him and I was like, I hope you are so unhappy. Like, I don't think you deserve happiness. You're not a good person. You're not like at no point do they do anything for anybody. Like, I don't... Like, you know, some events, right, you do... You're like, oh, you know, it's a bit Tory. It's a bit, like, ugh. But they're doing like, they raise money for charity, or they're like, oh, you know, make sure you put a fiver in the bucket. It goes to, but this wasn't any, like, that.
It didn't feel like that at all.
No, there was none of
that. You weren't getting any kind of decent vibe here.
There was no goodwill. It was like DJing to a room full of, like, I don't know, Nazis, a strong word. Just people that have no empathy.
Mm.
People that don't like people that, but I was like, but.
So.
But they're the kind of people that if they got a parking ticket, or like, I don't feel like they were like all rich people. I feel like they were on salaries, like normal salaries, and maybe they got a bonus or something every year that kept them sweet. But like, I'm like, you can't be doing that well that you're not like, you don't look at the people you're taking money from and go, fuck, are they really struggling because everything's really expensive and life's a bit shit, and we're just literally causing them misery for parking somewhere.
Do you know what, as well, like, you've got those people that generally don't care in those companies, but then in those companies within that pocket as well, you also have people just trying to figure shit out.
They're
kind of like, I could bet you there are like at least one or two or three or four in those kind of big medium to small companies, maybe too big as well, that are trapped genuinely in that horrible environment. Because it breeds as well, that kind of, you can't help. I know my fiance had a job where she worked in, it was like law. She worked for a law firm.
And fuck that law firm.
It was like insane what she had to deal with. She was like HR for a law firm, and it was like nuts.
Oh my
She'd
God.
She'd come home depressed.
CEOs.
And she was like, they're savages.
Yeah.
They just don't. These people don't have any like remorse or anything like that. It's just
they've no souls. But then none of them
depressed CEOs.
But none of them are actually happy because
maybe some of them are, and they
revel in that misery.
Because people don't think like us. We don't. Yeah. We get fuel from, like, I don't know, making kind of. Oh, this sounds righteous, but like, I don't want anybody to be like depressed or anything like that. But some people genuinely like that, like, not even making people depressed, but like, they like the game of it. They the playing.
Yeah, but eventually.
And they don't think about like, oh, I might be. And some of them might hurt somebody at some point, but I'm going mega deep into this. But like, you know.
Eventually, at some point, they're going to have their Christmas Carol moment, aren't they? Where, you boy, what day is it?
It's Christmas Day, sir.
Take these parking tickets and tear them all up in the street.
Because nobody deserves to have them.
Honestly, like, I've said this on another podcast. There are people that exist that have to exist in that kind of world because that's just who...
I've been one of those people. Like,
they're just brutalists.
I've not been in such a harsh environment, but, like, I felt like being out of place in a big corporation and just a number.
Oh, mate, fucking...
And you're sat there going, oh, my God, like, how do I get out of this? And
And
you slowly learn that... And as you get older, and I wish I could go back to my fucking younger self when I was working at Tesco, there was this one manager that obviously was, like, just power-hungry, and I didn't know it at the time. And I never forget this one incident, depressed CEO incident, where she was my manager, and she walked around, and one time she caught me, and I was only young, so I was naive, I didn't really know a lot. And she was like, hey, Dave, I'm just going to stop you a second. Do you, I really need to make a phone call. Do you have your phone on you? You see where this is going. And I went, and I thought, oh, she's like opened up with quite a vulnerable, I really need to make this call. Do you have your phone? I went, yeah, certainly. I like pulled out my mobile phone. She goes, got you. Shouldn't have had that on you. I'm going to take that away now. She took it away from me and locked it up. And I remember going, oh, and being like upset angry. If that was now, if I was like, I'd be like, fuck you.
Yeah, yeah.
Or even when she said that, I'd be like,
say it to
have
her now.
The brain power.
Say it to her now.
I'd be like,
I'll be here.
I'll tell you exactly what I'll do.
Can I
fuck off.
No, go from the beginning. Hi, David. You okay?
I just finished stocking up the chicken.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Nice. Cubed chicken?
No, just fresh chicken.
Oh, great, yeah.
Just making sure they're all in the chilling area.
Yeah, well, good. I'm glad
being a good employee.
Oh, good. I'm glad you've done that. I've got to make a phone call. Do you have your phone on you, bro?
Fuck off. I said fuck off. Stab. No, I'm joking.
You didn't have your butterfly knife.
I would generally go, nah, sorry, mate, I don't.
Nah.
And I'd act my ass off.
Yeah, but would you know? Yeah.
Because I know now.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I know now what she's doing.
But would you clock on now?
Yeah,
would you clock on now to what she was doing, right?
1 minute. Because I now have such a distrust in people that I go through.
Like, no,
because
you're manipulating me.
I've probably clocked her and
do you trust me?
Before. You? Yeah, 1 million.
Do you trust me?
Do you want me to give a funny answer or the proper
answer? No. I don't mind a funny answer.
Do I trust you? No. I'm trying to think of something funny to say.
No, it's fine. So you've got such a distrust now, sorry, that you would...
Yeah, I would clock it. And I'd be like, I'd act as well, but like, oh, sorry, mate, no, I don't. Mm. I could get it for you. It's in my locker.
Yeah, you know, but you'll have to give me permission and sign the slip.
Slip in.
Honestly, mate, people like that.
And now I understand, like, you just want to fucking.
They've got no joy.
You just like it. Like fucking other people, don't you?
They've got no joy in their lives. I'm sure there will be people listening to this that are either friends or friends of ours that work jobs where they do this to people because they are struggling.
But do they know?
Yeah.
This is what I struggle with. Do they know they're depressed? Are they depressed? Do they like doing it? Do they have this come to Jesus moment? Do they forever realise, I'm a bit of a sociopath and I kind of like... Do they ever like go, I'm a... There was this one like interview with this sociopath like on YouTube that I watched and he was just like blunt honest.
Is he a friend of ours?
I don't have any friends that are sociopaths.
Not anymore.
Hopefully not. Not anymore. 29, living life adventure.
In jokes.
Sorry. But like, there was this sociopath like that was just genuinely just saying it. Like, he had an interview and he was just like candid, like saying, "No, I only have like relationships for goals. Like, you give what can I extract from you? What can you give me? I don't have any friends. I don't see friends that way." And he was just being like a psychopath about it. You know how like Ted Bundy is being interviewed? And he's you can see behind his eyes. But it's like that. It's like
he
a
knows
psycho,
how
but
to,
on a lower level.
Knows how to get what he wants.
Yeah, and he was just being candid about it. And I was like, there might be a world where I could not be friends with you because that doesn't mechanically work.
Yeah.
But at least... weirdly respect you if you just told this is what I do.
This is what I do.
Do you know what I mean?
I agree with that 100%.
Because a friendship wouldn't work because I can't trust you.
Yeah. If Ted Bundy came up,
I'd be like, okay, at least I know.
If Ted Bundy came up to you and he was like, look, you're a hot woman. I want to fuck you, then murder you. But that's what I do. Is like, I'm a good looking guy with a car.
Sure, fuck yeah.
I fucking murder.
I'm a depressed CEO.
No interest in anything else. Really no interest in anything else. The only thing that makes me happy is fucking and murdering.
Just straight old fucking and murdering,
baby.
The old fucking murder. And I think that's where we'll leave it, because I bet we're over an hour now.
Yeah, but you know what? shout out to all those people out there that are living these shadow lives. And I
shadow lives.
I
man.
Love.
What
I love
podcast names. Shadow lives.
Yeah.
Fuck. But we've come up
with some better. We've come up with some better
Belters.
Names than our original name. But you know. Do you know what?
Shadow lives.
I love nothing more than seeing people.
A good old fucking a murder.
You know. When, yeah. I love nothing more than a fucking murder. But you know when people quit their jobs. You. I mean, you've done this to an extent. You quit your job in kind of like a blaze of glory to do a complete U-turn. To an extent, and just do something that you actually want to do, and you get out of that corporate rat race, and you actually just chase your passion or like follow your dreams.
It doesn't. It's and, hard though for because yeah. you don't get that instant money.
No,
to live.
Yeah,
you are literally every creative job pretty much is a fucking glass ceiling where you struggle, and if. Yeah. And if you're lucky,
smash through
boom.
That fucking glass ceiling,
and then
baby.
You're like riches. Anyway,
yeah, but then will it make you happy, or will you just want to kill yourself? We'll talk about that more on the Patreon.
I've become so numb, I can feel Chester Bennington rip.
Doesn't get any better than that.
Anyway, thanks for listening to episode 1. Sign up to the Patreon and YouTube. Thank you.